Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Who are our two favorite sound bites in the NFL, gents?
Mike Tomlin.
That's one.
And Jerry Jones.
Hey, we've got fresh sound bites from both.
Hey!
The Rich Eisen Show.
We expect him to have a serious load.
Well, you know, Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, Michigan center Andrew Vistardis, still to come, founder of the QB Summit, Jordan Palmer, former Pro Bowl linebacker Ryan Shazier, plus producer and DJ Steve Aoki. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Devin McCourty of the New England Patriots, who is going to get out there in Western New York in a monster Week 13 Monday night finale. Week 13 kicks off, as we know, tomorrow night between the Cowboys and the Saints. Devin McCourty is going to join us in this hour, but joining us right here on the Rich Eisen Show in person, along with my guys Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo and TJ Jefferson in his spot as well. Joining us right here on the Rich Eisen Show is the man who has formed the QB Summit, and he is one of the top quarterback consultants in the sport of football. Good to see you in person, Jordan Palmer. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So let's just jump right into it. You've got some kids at the collegiate level who you are counseling and you are making better who can win the national championship this year. Walk me through the names of the guys that you...
This is interesting. I mean, one, congratulations on all your success. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about Michigan.
Thank you.
Being
it is my success.
Legitimately legitimate.
They are legitimate, huh?
They're not. They didn't get really lucky 3 weeks. The Big Ten's not having the worst year ever, and therefore Michigan's shooing in. I mean, they're legitimately good. So it's been awesome, man. Cade McNamara's been a guy I've been around since he was little. JT Daniels at Georgia. It's been a very interesting year with him getting hurt and then Stetson Bennett playing at a really high level. I think we may end up looking back on this defense and saying it's one of the best defenses ever in Georgia. And so JT's been a guy I spent a lot of time with. And Desmond Ritter, you know, as it sits right now, is finally been able to get over that hump and be a non-group of five or whatever it is where Cincinnati's in there. And so, yeah, it's been a blast to be able to watch that. And Bryce Young in Alabama. So it's going to be this year. It's very quarterback heavy, where the quarterbacks are big reasons for why things are happening. And it makes it really fun to watch.
So obviously it's not a one size fits all way of grooming a quarterback.
Yeah.
It's who they are. It's what beats inside. It's obviously neck up. It's the God given ability and so on and so forth. Cade McNamara, you said you've known him since a kid, right?
Little guy, yeah, sixth grade, yeah.
Sixth grade.
Yeah. Honestly, like probably spent as much time with Cade as anybody. It just, the family never missed a camp. He was living in Reno, always coming back down. By no means was he ever the guy where you said he's going to be, you know, God graced him with, he's not 6'5". He doesn't have the craziest arm I've ever seen. He doesn't run a 4'2". He's just got a little something different in him, the way he competes.
The way he comports himself, not just in the moment, but when a microphone's in front of him, he just, it oozes, the leadership oozes out of him. So what is his challenge to try and, you know, cash in this house money that's been handed to the Michigan Wolverines right now with that win over Ohio State and the opportunity to actually take it all? Right now,
if you think about like what has he done well, what he's done well is handle difficult situations well, right? They're not winning because he's sprinting to his right and throwing it 60 yards across the field to his left, making crazy plays. He's not turning it over. He's making great decisions. I think he's got 3 or 4 turnover worthy plays since he's been the starter going back to last year.
I can remember them all.
Yeah.
That's how they stand out because they're outliers. Based. Yeah. It kind of shock you
you're
when kinda, it happens.
Like Ohio State, you're kind of like, whoa.
Right.
Because he's not risky with it. So I think what it is it's maximizing this opportunity of it's the balance of control those turnover worthy plays, but also win to be aggressive. And that's just something usually guys learn as they get into the NFL. But really cerebral, really competitive, really mature kids do that well in college. Cade's done that well so far in college. He's got to do that for a couple more weeks.
What can you share with me what Harbaugh tells him? What can you share about a relationship between coach and quarterback that you're willing to share right here?
Well, I think the irony TV? I think the irony is Cade's got a lot of, from what I don't know Harbaugh as a player.
I was there freshman year. He's got a lot.
Is that where the picture are you running from?
No.
That's where a tie to school?
That is definitely not me in school. No, that's me as an older man. Yeah. But yeah.
Older, faster man.
Thank you, sir.
I think from what I hear Harbaugh, there's a lot of similarities. I mean, the way that, like, in 2021, kids care a lot about perception and social media and likes and the how things are, you know, perceived. Like, Cade doesn't. It's very old school. He doesn't really care about Instagram. He doesn't really care about any of that stuff. He's trying to win. And so I think what Cade was able to do is kind of mirror what Jim wanted, was this all ball, don't care about any of the other fluff. Mm-hmm. And that's who he is naturally. Okay, didn't have to act like that. And so I think that's two things where those guys, again, I went around Jim as a player, but I see a lot of those things where I know guys used to talk about how he was always competitive in these situations where they shouldn't have been competitive. Like the QB challenge, right? He's the guy who took it more serious. Cade kind of takes everything really serious too. He competes in everything.
Well, what is it like then to watch a kid in J.J. McCarthy come running out though? How does that come into the mix?
So
in your conversations with Cade McNamara?
What I've used as an example, because I don't care who you are, if you're a competitor, I want to be on the field. Don't take me out.
Well, I mean, pretty much every other kid that you've mentioned that you have playing in these, obviously JT Daniels is hurt, but, you know, these guys don't really come off the field like Cade does sometimes.
Yeah. So what I use is Drew Brees and Taysom Hill. So Drew Brees got to a place in New Orleans, I think. Drew got to a place where he believed that Taysom going in the hill in this series at third down, you've been around Drew long enough to know the competitor that Drew is.
Of course, yeah.
I don't think Drew had interest in not playing or taking a breather, but I think Drew had to get to a place where mentally he felt like Taysom going in the field, I'm going to get to a place where I believe that I'm going to have a shorter field when I go back in. This is going to be a good thing for our offense. This is going to move us. It's a very difficult thing for quarterbacks to deal with. One of the things I saw in the game on TV last weekend, mm-hmm. JJ, who I've spent time with JJ. I think JJ's going to be a star. It's awesome. JJ has a little zone read, and they had number 14, the little guy, mm-hmm. kind of stock block, and he goes down the sideline, and JJ drops a dime.
He did.
Right in there. And there's very slow-mo cut of a legitimate Cade pointing at, where's the camera at?
Yeah, right there.
Cade, like, great ball fired up. You know what I mean? And I think that's the growth where you're going, he's so locked in on us scoring on this drive, I don't care who gets us down there. And I think you got to be able to get there if you're going to win a championship. You can have a good offense doing that, but to win a championship, you've got to really get there, and I think Cade's there.
Jordan Palmer here on the Rich Eisen Show, the Quarterback Summit. We'll talk about some tour dates of how you're taking your show on the road in a moment right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Trevor Lawrence, where is he in your estimation, and how do we view his first 11 starts in the NFL right now?
You know, every rookie who ends up playing has a different start. We've seen guys start hot. We've seen a ton of guys start a lot worse than Trevor. Really, I mean, when you're the number one pick, you're taking over a team who earned the number one pick. And so you have the roster, a roster that needs to be developed and all that. What I look at it, Trevor, is how often are you making the same decisions, good ones or bad ones, over and over again? I think there are certain interceptions that every quarterback has to throw to know they can't throw that ball, meaning – if I've got, let's say, a sail route, and I think I can get it over the corner, the cornerback, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure. I did in college. I'm not sure in the league. Like, you throw that corner picks it off. Like, okay, that registers. I can't. That's not a throw I can make. Or back late across the middle on a naked. There's just those certain throws. You got to kind of do it. Coach can tell you not to do it, but you got to do it, feel it to be able to harness that. I don't see Trevor making a lot of the same mistakes twice. I see him being aggressive, pushing the ball down the field, trying to execute this offense quickly. Roster-wise, they're going to continue to evolve. This is year one, new staff, new everything. But I just don't see Trevor making a lot of the same mistakes over and over again, which means I see him progressing. And at no point did the game seem too big or too fast or too hard or too complex. So I think he's progressing nicely, and I think everyone should be patient.
Well, the 9 losses that they have this year matches the number of losses that Urban had in his entire tenure at Ohio State right now. And so he's not used to losing, and neither is Trevor. How's he handling
Trevor
the losses?
Trevor was 86, I think it was 86-4 high school, college combined.
Right. So now he's lost twice the number of games he's ever lost in his entire life in the span of 3 months.
Yeah.
How's he handling that?
I think it's funny, when that ESPN article came out and people talked about, what does he mean he doesn't have to compete against other people? I just think Trevor's very self-confident. He knows what he knows, believes what he believes about himself.
Mm-hmm.
And what he believes right now, and what I believe about him, is this is part of your rookie year. You got to learn. Whether you're 12-4 or 4-12, you got to learn. And so there's so much that can happen over the course of this first year where you can still learn and evolve, even though it doesn't show up in stats or doesn't show up in wins or losses. So from my perspective, from across the country watching on TV, I feel like I'm seeing him progress, not make the same mistakes twice, and I don't have any concerns about his confidence moving
forward. Okay, it's not his confidence. What about the scheme around him? What about the staff that's there? I mean, we're talking, you hear stuff out of Jacksonville. Urban brought in some college guys, and there's the pro guys, and there's a lot of bashing about that, and there's your prize prospect sitting right in the middle of all that.
Yeah. I think one of the things that happens, and why you have to be so mature to play quarterback at the NFL level, is you have to deal with so many things that people like us can sit around and speculate and talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to handle those, whether you're 21 or 31.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares, right? Once they pick you number one or they give you a bunch of money, they don't care how old you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know all the things that are going on there, but I would just bet on his maturity, what he's been through.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like being the face of college football for a couple of years is bigger than being the face of the Jacksonville Jaguars, the magnitude of it and the eyeballs. So I just think he's so well positioned to whatever the good stuff that's going on, whatever the issues they're having, like that's the kind of guy you want to put in there, not somebody who's going to kind of stir it up or put stuff out in the public, but somebody who's going to internally handle it and develop it. And so I don't know all the stuff that's going on in Jacksonville, but I bet on Trevor that he can kind of like right that ship.
Jordan Palmer here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm sure you saw it on Thanksgiving night. There was a split screen on the NBC broadcast of the body angle that Josh Allen was throwing from when he was in college and what he looks like right now. Like where in college, it looked like he was like Dwight Freeney coming around the end. You know what I mean? Like almost at a 45-degree angle, right?
Yeah.
And now he's just like, as I call him, like the Mandalorian, standing tall back there and firing away. What do you think he still needs to work on as we were talking about him as an MVP candidate coming into the season, early part of the season, not so much right now? What are your two cents on that, if you're as a guy who's been getting him upright and getting him going prior to his pro career, Jordan?
I think, as good as that roster is, I know Tre'Davious White, time will tell how big of a loss that was. It's got to be a big one. That guy's a great player. But that roster's really, really solid. That's a team that can go all the way. That's a quarterback that can take them all the way. I just think for them it comes down to consistency, and that shows up in execution and defense and tackling, all the different phases of the game. So as a quarterback, you got to own all the consistency side of it, and the way that usually plays out is in decision making and moving and throwing. Are you doing the same things? And so I think this year, I don't know that his goal was to be it was MVP or bust. I think it was Super Bowl or bust, and the reality is you can build on those and learn from it throughout the year. So Josh is continuing to evolve. He showed the level he can play at. And as that team continues to kind of find this year's identity, last year it was so much Diggs and Josh. And and this year other guys are stepping up. Dawson Knox has emerged.
They don't run it, though. They hardly run it, you know. Like, he's their running back, it seems like, you know, with due respect to everyone else out there. So I sometimes feel like so much is put on him, and he feels the need to do the proverbial do too much.
Yeah,
like, is that a real conversation to be had between, you know, quarterback guru and prospect?
100%. I think when you play quarterback, you're in control of risk mitigation. Running back's not. Running back can fumble, can make a play, or can just run into the back of the guard and get 2 yards. But the quarterback's in charge of that risk mitigation, right? When am I going to press it? When am I going to be a little bit more conservative? And when you get the truly competitive, like the elite competitive, like the guy that I wouldn't want to fight competitive guys, it takes time and reps to be able to really control that. And so in that moment, okay? So a couple years ago, they blew a lead versus Deshaun Watson and Texans. Kind of took some sacks, tried to make a play that wasn't there.
In the playoffs.
Like, tried to make a play wasn't there.
They got screwed by a crazy call in the middle of overtime as well. But yes,
that's right. They all blur together.
No, but there were times where he was
making a play that may not be there to be made.
Right,
right. And so sometimes throwing the ball out of bounds is the best possible outcome for this play. That's been an area where I've just seen Josh physically, the side-by-side comparison can show you, but that's where I've seen the evolution of him, which is why I had pretty high expectations for the Buffalo Bills this year, and they actually, despite a game or two here or there, they haven't changed for me, because I bet by the time these games get very serious, starting on Monday night, that we're going to really see that version where, no, in those moments, he's making the right decision all the time.
Well, you know, Belichick's going to put him in that position. Mm-hmm. He's going to put him in the position of trying to take the cheese. He's going to put him in the position of trying to do too much. Mm-hmm. He knows exactly how to scheme that sort of thing. We have Devin McCourty coming up, too. I'm sure that there's going to be certain plays circled in that regard.
For sure.
That is going to be the challenge on Monday night.
I'm fired up for that game. I can't. I mean, these two teams, who would have thought that this was going to be this relevant?
Well, that guy over there, he's the Patriot guy over there. He chose the Patriots to win their division. Right. So. You know, yes, he did. He actually did do that. And, you know, I just thought he was a Patriot honk. But now we're seeing Mac Jones do what he's doing right now. Where does Mac Jones's rookie season rank for you, seeing this?
It's one of the best. I don't know. I don't go off of stats a lot. But my takeaway was, and you this will be right up your alley, watching Brady at Gillette this year drive down the field and put it out again. Just watching Mac Jones warm up on the sideline, he just had that look, and he didn't get a chance to go back in. He just had that look on his face like there was no question that he was going to come right back in and score. And I just remember telling people, if I was a Patriots fan, I would be stoked on how tonight went. Get the little swan song, goodbye to Brady versus Brady came back in Tampa. But your young rookie just went toe-to-toe and had no concerns for the 20-plus year. Like, that's a confident dude. And I get that he played at Bama and he's an Elite 11 kid. He's been around it. But I'm still continually blown away by just how quickly Mac is advancing. It's awesome.
It's six straight dubs for him. And he runs it with incredible efficiency. Kurt Warner said he's doing more in this offense in his first year than what was asked of Brady in his first year in the offense. He's doing more is what he said.
I would say not close for sure. Yeah, I mean, just the little things, like he hit Hunter Henry on a little quick little slant. You watch it on TV, it looks like he threw a slant to Hunter Henry. No, he didn't. He looked left in a way that made number 56 run and fall as he brought his eyes back, hit Hunter Henry out of his breath. It's just the way he's manipulating defenses with his eyes.
I love it.
Most rookies are trying to memorize the play and then trying to memorize what their job is and where they should go.
Right.
I just don't see Mac Jones doing that. I see Mac Jones right now already having all that taken care of and starting to manipulate the defense and use his eyes in ways that rookies don't usually do.
So with the way that the defense is playing, do you think they can win the Super Bowl this year?
I still think it's going to be really difficult for them to beat Buffalo in a way where they can advance in the playoffs. I think it's going to be tough, but it's just because I haven't seen, this is all new, New England doing it. I've been watching Buffalo play really well for a couple of years now.
Jordan Palmer here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's your diagnosis of what's going on with Baker Mayfield in Cleveland?
Well, I think I'll say this. When it comes to the draft, I think we might have talked about this. When it comes to drafting quarterbacks, guys are busts, guys are not busts. I believe that teams bust on developing the quarterback more than the player was a bust. By the way, Baker Mayfield, but I'm not combining those two. But when we evaluate quarterbacks, did it work, did it not? The times when it didn't work, I think it has more to do with what the team did to develop. Now, in Baker's case, and a lot of guys where I would put on that list, he just had a lot of different things. Hugh Jackson his first year, and then that gets fired, and then Freddie Kitchens takes over, and then now here, and then they add in OBJ, and they also add in a great roster. He's got a great offensive line, great run game, great defense. So it's just a lot.
And, right, and in that regard, the newness of last year, it blossomed so well with Stefanski and without Odell, I must say. But it blossomed so well, they make the playoffs, they boat race the Steelers out, they go to Kansas City and really gave the Chiefs a heck of a game in that divisional round, and it's just been regressed right now. It's been a step backwards, right? And so the consistency that you're saying that might have been missed was actually in a way there this year, although Odell was in and then out.
That's the biggest question. The first couple of years, it's just hard for me to evaluate a guy when every year it's completely different, right? And this is now coming off of 2 years where it was a lot of consistency and haven't seen them take that next step. I was pretty surprised. I thought they'd be rolling on offense. You know, I thought their ability to run the ball and play action. And look, Baker's accuracy can push the ball down the field. He's proven that. This guy was a walk-on twice and a Heisman finalist three times. I mean, I'm not wondering whether or not he can throw it, but I am wondering what that piece is that has not allowed them to continue to grow from last year.
So are we. Look great. I know the general manager, Andrew Berry, said today that there's something missing in the passing game. The passing game is not firing right now. And, of course, you look at the quarterback for that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So whenever film you do see of Baker, what are you seeing that's either firing or not? What is it for Browns fans to kind of hang their hat on, who are certainly some Browns fans are saying, let's get Case Keenum out there right now. What do you think? From what you might be
saying. I haven't studied them too much. What I will say is what you have to be able to do in this league at an elite level if you're going to continue to progress is you have to be able to throw into tight windows from tight spaces. And that's something where I've always wondered, because he didn't do it a lot at Oklahoma because of the system. It was really good. Dudes were wide open. We look at who he was thrown to. Kind of all went first or second round, right? Mark Andrews was his tight end. Hollywood, these different guys. So that it's throwing from tight spaces into tight windows. We were talking about Cade McNamara from Michigan earlier.
Yes.
That's what he's done well this year. It's not the crazy plays. It's tight spaces, tight windows. That's been a thing for Baker where I evaluate a lot of these guys coming in. And if they haven't done it in college, maybe they just weren't put in a position to do it. Doesn't mean they can't. I think that would probably be the one area that I would point to and go, I don't know that I've seen a ton of progression there. Doesn't mean that it's not going to progress. Everyone's going to miss a deep ball every now and then. That happens. But it's that throwing from tight windows, throwing into tight windows from tight spaces. Typically bigger guys have an easier job with it. But at some point, everybody's got to be able to do that because that's how most third downs.
So I think the question is, because part of the issue for Baker is he's drafted first overall in a draft that does include, again, one of your clients in Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, who are just phenomenal and guys who can say, I'm taking it over. Yep. I'm taking it over with my legs and my arm. That's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to win games. Mm-hmm. And Lamar won an MVP in that way, and he's even better passing now. So is it possible in this day and age that somebody can have that blossoming? It doesn't have to be both ways, two ways with arms and legs, but just a blossoming into dynamic franchise, taking it over no matter what's going on defense or running game tonight, for somebody to do that in years 5 through 8 of their NFL career.
100%. So what's happened is from media and fans and fantasy football and instant gratification, I need to know right now.
Right.
And we were so quick to cast guys aside. You know, second year, he's not even good. Development doesn't have a timeline, right? We can create a timeline and say, well, if they're not good by year 3, then, right, based off contracts. But, I mean, my brother had a great run in Cincinnati and then was tough for a while in Oakland. And then, you know, Bruce Arians and Larry Fitzgerald and the right pieces. And all of a sudden, poof, he's in the NFC Championship runner-up for MVP. And that was like year 12.
Right.
Right? Alex Smith's. His best statistical year was in Kansas City after 7 coordinators in San Francisco. I think it was legitimately 7 coordinators in San Francisco. Well, yeah, because he had got to a place where it wasn't just he had good wideouts. The development had peaked and matched what's around him. So guys who are 2, 3, 4 years in who haven't had success yet, I just think it's way too early to throw in the towel. I want to see them in a good situation and before I evaluate. I just have a hard time evaluating somebody in a bad situation.
So then put it in a point, is Baker in a bad situation right now?
No, I think the first couple of years was any number one pick is going to have a lot of turnover and a lot of that stuff. But no, I think this last year and a half has been a good situation from, again, not in the locker room, don't know the ramifications and stuff. But yeah, I think it's a situation where you could go, yeah, you'd want to see some success out of this.
And how about Cleveland with him? You think Cleveland should stick with him? You know, they're at that point in time of, you know, having to give a long-term deal and stuff like that. What do you think of that front?
I don't know if I have an opinion on that. I would just always err on the side of if you have invested a lot of, I don't even care about the money because you're spending the money one way or another, right?
Right, yeah.
Right? Invested this much time and resources and reps and built around it. I always err on the side of give it another year, right? Like just because everyone else is impatient, do we think this guy can, what are the issues? Do we think we can get him there?
Mm-hmm.
And if we can, let's invest in those resources. The side by side of Josh Allen used to throw now, they put great resources around them. They are open to all of it. They hired a great quarterback coach in Ken Dorsey. they weren't concerned with how many people haven't improved accuracy.
Yes.
They built, Brandon Bean built something to improve the accuracy. So
before I let you go, the QB Summit's coming to potentially a town near everybody listening and watching.
Yeah, I always ran camps out here, and it's been awesome. And when COVID, it made it tough before. And so, yeah, I'm going to do a tour around the country, 12 stops, 10 cities, and I'm going to announce it next week and run it like a tour.
Where can people find out when you announce it next week?
It'll be on QBSummit.com.
QBSummit.com. Yep. And what does that mean, coming to town? Like, you can come out?
So I run camps. I keep them at 40. Sure. I take all the stuff that I do with older guys, but it's for 10 to 17-year-olds.
Okay.
I've ran probably 30 of these locally over the last few years.
Sure.
And I've just ramped it up and made it really cool. And it's really kind of more of like a transformative thing. It's a weekend where they're going to get exposure to what it really takes to play quarterback and the tools to be able to do it instead of a bunch of drills.
10 to 17-year-olds. So yeah. Let's go. Let's develop and let's go.
Young pups.
So you'll be able to say like you
I'm would. Getting old because I got a bunch of like players whose kids come now.
Who's that? We got?
Well, like my brother's kid. I've trained Mark Brunell's boys, Josh McCown's boys, like just these other, like these players'
Wait,
kids.
Wait, hold on a second. There's more McCowns.
There's more McCowns.
How
There's
many more McCowns can there possibly be?
26 of them, I think. No, but hey, Luke's got some baller sons.
Yep. I bet.
Little Owen's a baller.
I bet. So you'll be able to come on this show years from now, and like you just said about Cade McNamara, I've known him since the sixth grade.
Yeah.
Wow. So you go to QBSummit.com, and you can follow Jordan Palmer on Twitter at JW Palms. I do it. You should as well. Good to see you here, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Jordan Palmer right here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, Devin McCourty of those rampaging Patriots and on that defensive side of the ball. Coming up next. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. We all know quality sleep is essential. I'm just not myself when I don't get a good night's sleep. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. For instance, my side of the bed, my Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's side of the bed, her Sleep Number setting is 70. Two different numbers, same bed, but we get the same great sleep. So, make sure you get your Sleep Number bed right now, because you will absolutely love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you can save up to $800 on select Sleep Number smart beds for a limited time. That's right, $800. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Check it out. Sleep Number. You won't regret it. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Hey, it's J.B. Smoove here at Media Day in Houston, and we're on to the Pats, baby. What's up, Tom?
How you doing?
You are 10 in the handsome world, right? Would you trade in 3 of your handsome points to get back at them damn Giants?
Yes. I'd trade them all.
Hey. Clef Brothers, too, man. Clef Tim Brothers. See this? Character. Please give me something I can take to these movie executives to convince them why we need a black unicorn movie.
You look at this crowd of white unicorns, and all you see is this big, black, handsome unicorn standing there looking like Black Beauty.
It's the best strip club in Boston. And Gronk's basement. Be honest. Am I wrong? I'm gonna go down there and talk to your coach, and I'm gonna tell that man, This man is electrifying. He has to touch the ball way more than that. Okay, I'm going to go down and tell him.
All right, that's on you, though.
No,
don't tell him
I said. No, I'm going to say we talked about it.
Nah, you can't tell
him. Wait a minute. Now we did talk about it.
She come by my house, my bar, and all I had is a black unicorn that no one wanted because...
Nobody want that black unicorn.
Because it was different.
You're a tough cookie, man. What cookie would that be? A ginger snap, a Fig Newton, a vanilla wafer, a chocolate chip cookie.
Chocolate
Give me a
chip.
Cookie.
Yeah,
chocolate chip all day. I figured that, all day. At first, I thought he might be more of a Fig Newton guy, but he's more of a chocolate chip guy. You see what happens? I don't understand. Devin or Jason?
No.
I'm going to be honest, man. You got a twin brother who plays for the Titans. Now, how the hell do everybody in here know it's you and not damn Jason?
There's really no way to tell, though, honestly, because Coach Belichick doesn't even know the difference.
I don't want no parent trap stuff going on.
Nah, I'm better than him, so I can't let him go out there and play for me. Can't
okay, Jason.
She rides that black unicorn.
Oh, look,
they become one. Now, it speaks to us.
Now, man,
the girl has trouble at home, too.
Oh, man. That's a great story, man.
And we need Queen Latifah to be the mom. How many?
We shut this place down, baby. Rich Eisen Show, J.B. Smooth, Super Bowl 51. You know how we do. Houston, we got a problem.
Fun stuff on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show for our entire archive. 325,000 subscribers strong and keeping on growing. We greatly appreciate everybody who's doing all of that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the show. You got to be so fired up when you hear him talk about Mac Jones like that, Chris.
Man. Also, I just look at the stats, too. Mac Jones has 8 games this year with a 95 or better passer rating.
Right.
He's number 1 in the NFL, tied with a bunch of other guys, including Aaron Rodgers. He's just been so efficient. It's great to watch.
Sure is, man. It really is incredible to watch somebody blossom like that, unless, of course, the rest of the league is just so sick and tired of seeing the Patriots do it, but it's too bad.
Yeah, I mean, too bad. You had your 1 year.
That was it. 1 year, and it appears 1 month.
Yeah, first month of the
this
year.
This is it.
Sure.
This was it. It was like Houston, Dallas had the last best shot. And the Patriots took him to overtime and lost. And they haven't lost since.
Yeah. Don't let him win the Super Bowl, man. I'm going to be obnoxious.
Well, I'm setting the standard for that. You're seeing the way I'm acting.
Yeah.
You know,
but take that
and
to 11.
I'm writing checks. I'm writing checks that I'm hoping my alma mater cashes on Saturday. But Jordan, when he left, was telling me that what I was going to do to Cade McNamara is just play zone and try and have him make a mistake. He's basically going to tell Cade, just be patient. And obviously Harbaugh knows that and he's going to be in his ear doing that. And he hasn't forced much this year. He hasn't had to because he's got that absolute beast behind him in Hassan Haskins.
Yeah, the line and the run game just carry that all the way to the Final Four, man.
Right, exactly. So Devin McCourty is on the practice field right now.
Okay.
And I don't know if there's a human being on planet Earth who could basically tell Bill, you know, what's going on, Bill?
Time. Eyes are
Devin's supposed to be ready for us. So we're in the next 28 minutes, just kind of a waiting game in a way, just doing his catches, catch can. Brian Kelly just spoke in an introductory press conference for LSU football. Bye, right? That's what you're saying, right, Mikey?
I mean, I like Brian because we worked with him at the draft, and he was awesome. Mm-hmm. But as a coach, I was never a fan. I'm not kidding.
Dude, my sister was the winningest coach in the history of Notre Dame football.
I know. He hasn't won a championship. I'll take Holtz. Give me your Holtz, your best Holtz.
See,
and again, he won a championship.
And again, that's the crazy
thing.
Is we have reached the point, and I said this at the top of the show, and I'll repeat it again. We have reached the point in college football, and it's been creeping this way for a while, but we've reached the point in college football where longest tenured head coaches and winningest head coaches in the history of storied programs are leaving for bigger money, and leaving in the middle of a possible championship run because the school that wants him needs him on the recruiting trail post-haste. The December 15th early signing period, right? The signing period that's December 15th is, as of right now, less than 2 weeks away. So the minute Brian Kelly is done with this press conference and done of all it, he's probably on a plane somewhere. Going to somebody's household and looking them in the face and saying, I'm going to give you the same speech I just gave to some kid 2 days ago for Notre Dame, and it's my stock speech. This is not the way he's going to say it, but it's my stock speech, and I'm giving it to you. And you can believe that I'm going to be at LSU because I ain't going anywhere. And as a matter of fact, a new day has dawned here in Baton Rouge. And I'm the winningest coach in the history of Notre Dame, and I won at Cincinnati, and I won at Central Michigan. I've won everywhere I've been. Come play for me. And it's got to stink for Notre Dame, man. It's got to stink. And it stinks for those players at Notre Dame saying, don't buy it from this guy. I bought it from him, and look what happened. He left. But he's not leaving LSU because he's been pizzayed. And Lincoln Riley, too, man. Lincoln Riley, did you see Oklahoma Compliance tweeted out last night some sort of googly-eyed meme with the 100% emoji.
Oh, no.
Basically saying that they're watching what he's doing with all of the recruits that he had coming to Oklahoma. Okay, I'm imagining is what that meant.
Got it. Yeah.
There's a lot of rumors about coaches that he's brought and who's still with the program, who he's going to bring and who he's allowed to bring. And there's a lot of ugliness going on. And school presidents and athletic directors and member programs and conference commissioners, you're fine with this? We're cool? This is it? It's just the cost of doing business? And players are allowed to go to the transfer portal now, right? I guess that's their answer.
Right.
But why are we making kids have to be signed by December 15th to pressurize the end of a season? This is going to keep happening. And like I said, anybody out there who's saying this, right? Anybody out there who's saying this is a problem. I don't want to, I don't want to hear from you that players who are ditching their programs because there's nothing left to play for, they don't want to get hurt. So, that's just a fascinating aspect of all this. Joining us here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line from the New England Patriots getting set to play Monday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills to wrap up week number 13 in the NFL is none other than a longtime pro in his 12th season out of Rutgers right now. Oof. For the New England Patriots, Devin McCourty. How you doing, Devin?
I'm doing all right, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I appreciate you just joining us fresh off the practice field right now. You've been around some championship teams there, sir, and you've been around some teams that have gotten hot and then made the Super Bowl. Is this one of those teams, do you think?
I don't know, man. I would say all those teams that I've been on, I would say in the process, we didn't know. And I would say some of those teams, we had some, tough times, some adversity that hit, where if you look back, there were a lot of people doubting and saying there was no chance of that. So I think all those teams, though, had one thing about them. They were willing to work hard and not worry about, everything else that was going on outside, but just kind of focus on the team. And that's what we've been preaching here all year, obviously starting 2-4. Wasn't ideal, but I think the mentality of all the guys in this locker room of staying focused on each other, staying focused on the team has enabled us to go on a little bit of a win streak. And I think you've heard it, I think in the last few weeks from a lot of different players. We want to keep that mentality and we want to keep that going. So that's the plan.
So then what I have seen, this isn't my first rodeo with the NFL, as you know, I have seen many Patriots teams, certainly on defense, play this way before, but it usually it's right around now when it begins to gel because so many guys who come in new don't understand or conceive of what the do your job mentality is and how this defense works. But you guys have been balling out for weeks. Why would you say, Devin?
I think it's just a combination of, guys understanding their roles, guys going out there and doing it. And I think the biggest part that we've done a better job at, compared to the beginning of the season is situational football. And all of the key situations, call it 2 minute, where we know they're passing, they have to pass, they know it, and making the big plays. Or we need the ball back, we need to get a stop, and they're up and they have the lead, and us getting a stop. I think those situations where the defense, you know, I don't think we were always clicking and, you know, everybody understanding where the next guy was going to be. I think we struggled a little bit early in the season. We've gotten better at that. I think trust builds from week to week, and guys trust each other, playing fast, playing hard, and I think it's paying off. So it's not just, I think, the physical game. I think even mentally we've understood how we want to play the game better, and I think that's paid off a lot for us.
Well, it also helps, Devin McCourty here on the Rich Eisen Show prior to Monday Night Football. It also helps that you're not being put out there on a short field. This offense, and also you're also not being thrown out there 2 minutes after you get off the field. I mean, this offense has been sustaining drives. This offense has not been turning it over. It's been efficient. They do score. They also run the ball very well. And a lot of it has to do with obviously, you know where I'm going with this, with Mac Jones. When did you first realize he had it, Devin?
I think in training camp, I think everyone saw that, you know, his focus, how he was preparing, how he took the field, reading defense. I think everyone was fully comfortable with him taking the field and being our guy. The whole it factor and all of that, I think that's all him. I think he's developed that. I think he's worked hard to have that. And I think, you know, for us as a team, it's been awesome just to play together and play complimentary football. I think, you know, everyone's talked about how the defense has played in the beginning of the season, different things like that. But I think the biggest reason that we've been able to play better is all three phases playing together. And obviously with Mac in the offense, those guys understand how they want to play each week. And, you know, special teams, nothing helps us out more. I think you saw even our game last week. You know, we started a kickoff. We pinned Tennessee back because of a holding call, because of, you know, our kickoff team with Cody. Then we get a three and out. You know, Gunner gets a great return after a penalty. Then our offense has a short field. They go down and score. And I think that's how we've played. That's how we've won games. It's just a combination of all three phases playing together. And I think we know that's our recipe for success. And we can't let that change.
Well, I mean, you also know it's a quarterback-driven league, not only because of the, you know, the fact you play defense, but you've been around, you know, and winning championships with the greatest of all time. And it's very difficult to compare New England offenses, certainly with a rookie, because of that alone. That's my windup with this pitch, Devin. and that is, what similarities do you see between Mac and his predecessor and Brady? You got any? There has to be some.
I can't, man. I wouldn't do that to the young man. I'm not gonna compare him to that guy. But I do think he's coming here with a real professional mentality. He doesn't feel like a rookie when it comes to the preparation part, talking about the game. I think he's come with that, and you know, I think part of that is, you know, what he did at Alabama. Those guys are always playing for championships. The other guys that play quarterback in front of him are all in the NFL right now. So it's, you know, I don't think anything is new to him of what we're trying to do as a team, and I think that's really paid off for us. And I think he's just focused a lot on what he needs to do in himself. And I think a lot of us as older guys kind of told him, like, don't change that. You know, that's how you become a good player in this league. Keep doing those things.
And, you know, your colleague, I had Matthew Jude on a couple weeks ago, Devin McCourty, and
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, this is before he trashed mac and cheese, Devin. You know, this is before all that. I wouldn't have him on after that comment, obviously. When I had him on, I mentioned Mac. He talked about the spirit that he takes coaching with and how that was something he noticed and has been noticed by everyone on the team. I'm wondering, what about you?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the one position too in this league where, you know, egos and different things like that play a factor. And for him, it hasn't. You know, I think he's taken coaching really well. And even, you know, I think for us, I remember just talking to him about safety play and quarterback play, and how much, you know, those two positions are reading each other and trying to understand each other. And it was great just talking to him and understanding the different things he sees, and me telling him some of the things that I've learned over the years of what affects a quarterback, and some reads that have helped me get good reads on quarterbacks when, you know, trying to throw the ball down the field. So he's always been open to that, and I think it's been great for him just with the experience around him. Obviously with Josh and, you know, some of those guys we have on offense with Hunter and guys like that, they've been around different quarterbacks. They've been in the league for a while, and I think that's helped a lot, you know, when you talk about developing and you know, seeing different things and gaining experience. I think that's helped him a lot.
All right, in a couple minutes I have left with you, Devin McCourty. First one, I got two more questions for you. First one, I'm going to go in that third rail direction, which is making you talk about your coach, Bill Belichick. But you've been around, okay? You've been there for 12 years. Do you think he's got a little bit of a reinvigoration because of what's happening this year after last year that Mac Jones is there, that you seem to be back on the Patriot way track based on somebody who's just watching it? Do you see Belichick in any different way this year, Devin?
I wouldn't say different, but I would say last year left a bad taste in everybody's mouth, kind of. It wasn't what we wanted. It wasn't the expectation. It wasn't the standard. And I think all of us kind of walked out of here last year after that last game against the Jets. Happy that we won the game, but also that feeling of like, well, we don't want to be living this way again. Like, we don't want that. And I think Bill definitely has had that approach. You know, I think, you know, no one wants to be on a losing team. And, you know, like you said, it's my 12th year here. I never had to experience that. And for him, he's been here for 20-something years, and they've done a lot of winning. So I don't think anybody enjoyed last year. I think it was definitely a sense of urgency and a focus on, you know, making this year different, making this year better. And, you know, so far it has been, but still a lot of football left to be played. And, you know, I think, you know, like I know with Bill, you know, all of this is great, but he's locked in on what we need to do Monday night.
Right.
That's all he's going to talk about, and that's going to be his focus.
Yeah, and it's just a week-to-week league, and he is one of the greatest ever in that week-to-week league, just focusing on the week. And in that regard, you are going to wrap up week 13 in a game for the division and technically for the conference. You're playing for the division and the conference, and we just already established you didn't play in the playoffs last year. So the challenge for this week is what for you, Devin McCourty, in Buffalo?
I think to stay focused on Buffalo. I think especially in a year where, like you just said, you know, we had no shot last year around this time. You know, you weren't playing for much or anything. And I think now not taking that for granted and understanding how great of an opportunity this is to just be playing for something. I think we got to make sure we don't get wrapped up in that and lose sight of, you know, keeping Josh Allen in the pocket, making sure that we can chain all of these skilled guys, whether it's Diggs, Beasley, Davis comes in the game, Knox, Sanders, keeping those guys in front of us and not giving up the big play, not turning the ball over on offense. I think those key things that we're going to need to do to win the game is what we need to stay focused on, not, you know, where we'll be if we lose or where we'll be if we win. Just focus on the keys and the things we talk about all week that will help us win the game. And I think that'll put us where we need to be. But, you know, I think this is one of those weeks, and we're at that point in the season where every game means more, and everybody I want to talk about, you know, a whole lot of other things other than the execution of the game plan in the game. And I think we got to make sure that we don't let that control us, and we just control the things that we need to do, play our roles and do our jobs.
So I'm playing the Patriots defense and special teams in my fantasy league this week, correct? I'm doing that.
I don't know much about fantasy, but I'm a Patriots fan, so okay. I said, yeah, always.
Okay. So then do me a favor, well, just to wrap this up. When you see Bill Belichick, A, tell him I said hello, and B, I'm going to play the Patriots defense and special teams this week in my fantasy league, so I'm counting on him. Very honest.
I will. Okay. Will do that? Rich. I'll definitely let him know.
I'm sure he's curious about it, so please do that. Devin, thanks for the time, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Have a good one.
You bet. That is three-time Super Bowl champion and current New England Patriot, Devin McCourty, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back and run through all of that before we get to another busy hour number three on our show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen. America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here. By the way, we've been going at such a breakneck speed right here on the show. Andrew Vistardis of the University of Michigan, he got the NIL deal in the first hour of our program. The center of the offensive line that blew open 41 runs, the doors for 41 runs to the tune of almost 300 yards and six rushing touchdowns. Hassan Haskins had a Biaka Patuka-like day with five.
One, two, three, four, five?
Right. And so he won our Gorilla Glue Toughest Player on Planet Earth NIL Award this week, $1,000 and free Gorilla Glue products. And Gorilla Glue is, again, the proud presenter of the award that we give out every week. Makers of high-quality adhesives and tapes, Gorilla Glue is. Much like the players that the award we're mentioning recognizes, Gorilla brings toughness and strength to even the most difficult household projects and repairs. Gorilla Glue for the toughest jobs on planet Earth. Baby.
Baby.
All right. So, there's all of that. Devin McCourty.
Love it.
So you've got Jordan Palmer this hour saying you should be stoked if you're a Patriot fan, and you are. And how Devin McCourty's just like locked in. Yeah. 12 years in, he's
locked
like,
in.
Wouldn't say that this feels like a championship year, but you could hear it. It feels like that.
I wonder, you always ask players, like, are you talking Super Bowl in the locker room? I wonder if Bill
No way.
Probably
not. I don't think so. They probably don't even say it in private at home. They probably don't even think it because they think that Belichick's
banned?
Recording
Those
their thoughts.
Those two words are banned?
I don't know.
Super and Bowl are banned?
Nobody does a better job of just focusing on week to week, hour to hour, snap to snap, like the New England
You're
Patriots.
On to Cincinnati.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. He's on to the next game.
Buffalo. Let's go.
What a Monday nighter. What a Monday nighter, sir.
It's a season for Buffalo, I
think. Manningcast will be awesome.
It's a season for Buffalo.
No, it is. If they lose to them.
If they lose to them, then they're just a half game behind them, and then they play again one more time in New England. Dude, I will not go into the knee jerk.
I
won't do it.
I mean, I picked Buffalo, you know.
All right, very good. Terrific. Coming up in hour number three, Steve Aoki. But coming up next, Ryan Shazier, the Pittsburgh Steeler organization. Coming up.